everybody. Bill Buckmaster with you, along with my buddy Tom, Mr. Tom Fairbanks, engineering and producing the show. Tom, it is a golden spring with all the Palo Verdes. Boy, they look so beautiful out there. But I know people are very allergic to them. Many people.
I thought maybe you were referring to the new gold rush in California.
Oh, yes.
The recent washing down of the melt and
the snow
streams is uncovering more gold deposits and stuff, and people are out there panning for gold.
Maybe another 1849 gold rush over in California. It's the Buckmaster Show here as we enter our midweek edition on the program, now in our 13th year with our radio project in the Green Things, Zocalo Village Studio, 1030 KVOI, Tucson's voice. For trusted news and talk, worldwide live listening on my website, buckmastershow.com. When we do our telephone interviews, our live line is presented by Rincon Ventures Real Estate and Property Management. On Monday, the parent companies of the Arizona Daily Star, Lee Enterprises, and the Gannett Corporation trimmed more newsroom staff. The cuts pared back those covering the news for the paper by nearly 25%. Among those shown the door, the Star's top editor, the opinion page editor, who was my guest co-host just this Friday on the program, Kurt Prendergast. I will certainly miss Kurt, but I miss all the people that were laid off and wish them well. The photo editor also was shown the door. According to the TucsonSentinel.com, in the past 15 years, the Star's staff of reporters, photographers, and editors has dropped from more than 120 to just two or three dozen. Joining me in studio, David Collier, associate professor, former director of the University of Arizona School of Journalism, and the recent president of the National Freedom of Information Coalition and Society of Professional Journalists. Dr. Collier leaves Tucson next month to head the Brechner Freedom of Information Project at the University of Arizona. David, how are you?
Good, Bill. Good. Just a correction. At the University of Florida, I'll be headed.
Did I say Arizona?
I keep saying Arizona as well.
Yeah, you said it right before we went on, and I thought, oh, my gosh.
But it's it's so Florida. Glad to be here, Bill.
Yeah, we're going to miss you here. We are really going to miss you in this community. This community has just been, there's been a collective sigh of, oh, no, more cuts at our paper of record, the Arizona Daily Star, which has a long history of providing very good journalism, at times national award-winning journalism. And now people are saying, oh no, what's next? It's like waiting for the other shoe to drop. And it's not just Tucson. It's almost emblematic of what you could find in any medium to large city. Maybe Absolutely. Some small towns, too.
Absolutely. This is across the country, and it's sad. It makes me sad that commercial media, well, to be honest, I think commercial media needs to die. It's a long time coming. They're built on greed and squeezing every penny they can, not for the community, but for their stockholders. And that's exactly what happened in Tucson. And it's not just the Star. We're talking about the Tucson Weekly and the other weeklies. We're talking about the TV stations. It's atrocious and it's immoral because, you know, we can bemoan the journalists who got laid off.
Sure.
I mean, I know many of them.
Yeah.
Many were our students. But the reality is it hurts the million people living in Pima County. And they're the ones who's going to suffer.
Well, I know that our friend Dylan Smith has done a really great job a dozen or so years ago. I think maybe he's also into, I think we started our projects, my radio show and his project at the Sentinel about the same time, about 13 years ago. He's done a great job with an online newspaper, if you will, that is now, you're seeing that not only in this country, in North America, but around the world, as somewhat of a replacement to the hold-in-your-hand print copy of a newspaper.
Well, yeah, and Dylan's phenomenal. He really is unique. I mean, he was at the ground floor starting these independent online news nonprofits, and he survived when many have gone under. But they're exploding around the country. We have hundreds, thousands of them popping up all over, some of them grant-funded. The problem is the business model. They just have a hard time getting the money to make it go. And you know, even Dylan's shop, which is a huge success, mm-hmm. I don't know, Dylan could tell you maybe three or four staffers. Mm-hmm. Well, that doesn't replace what the Star used to have with 120 staffers. So mm-hmm. let alone the Tucson Weekly and the other media outlets. So kudos to Dylan. I love the guy. He's working hard, as well as AZ Luminary and other things popping up, nonprofits around the community. But it's not enough. Mm-hmm. It's not going to replace the needs of Tucsonans. And I think Tucsonans need to just expect to lose its commercial media within 5 to 10 years.
You really think it'd be that soon, David?
Well, don't hold me to it.
Okay.
But all my magic eight ball says mm-hmm. everything points to implosion. And we're already seeing that mm-hmm. around the country. I mean, thousands of commercial outlets are being closed by their greedy hedge fund owners and corporate chains. And Lee and Gannett are some of the worst. I mean, I even worked for Gannett in the early part of my career.
But they're making a lot of money still with the Arizona Daily Star.
Yeah, what, $9 million a year?
Yeah.
They make in profits, but they'll lay off these journalists? It's immoral. And you know, but they used to make, I think, you know, $34 million a year or profit, and that's going to continue to drop.
In the boardroom of Gannett and Lee, they're probably saying at some point, David Collier, they're saying, okay, if we only say it's $9 million now, but in a few years it could go down to $3 or $4 million, they're saying it isn't worth it.
Exactly.
That's where we're going. Is that what I'm hearing you say?
Yeah, and I'm sure the accountants have projected where the end is, and then it'll fold, just like the Citizen folded, just like other newspapers are folding all across the country. So it's only a matter of time. And you know, what does that mean for Tucson?
Right.
Well, it means people aren't. It means a couple things. One, people aren't going to have just the basic knowledge of what's happening in their community. It's going to be fractured and poor quality. Two, government's going to run amok. I mean, God bless some government officials, but the only way we humans are on our best behavior is when we're watched. So if there aren't journalists watching the government, then, and we have a lot of research that shows this, it means government budgets are going to balloon, mm-hmm. spending left and right, taxing left and right.
Who's the watchdog? Who's going to be watching, you know, what the water quality or this or that?
Right. Nobody with clout, and that's the problem. And not to mention, water quality is going to get worse, and there's studies showing that. Even our restaurant food's going to get more dangerous and spoiled. On and on, I can go down the list, but the bottom line is the citizens will the ones be hurting. And we're talking about democracy here, too. I don't mean to sound all, you know.
No, I hear you. I mean, it used to be the papers would endorse candidates after extensive candidate interviews. That's all gone away.
Right.
Let's do a quick check the live line. Matt has called us. Matt, you're on with David Collier. Go ahead.
Yeah, no, I just, you know, want to bemoan with you the reality with regards to all media. I mean, I think we just saw it with Fox and with CNN. CNN has been taken over by a corporate merger and has basically been trying to figure out how they can basically change, you know, what they think is their viewership by moderating, you know, to conservatives, and then Fox is paying for its sins finally, but still can't seem to realize both of them have contributed to the complete dumbing down of America. I mean, how many times can we hear the word, you know, I'm sick of, and I, you know, it's not political. I'm just sick of hearing about stupidity of Trump or the stupidity of trying to get rid of Trump. I mean, it's just insane.
Okay. All right. David, any thoughts on what Matt has been saying?
Well, yeah. I mean, I think our media ecosystem is sick in this country. It is ailing. It is starving. We have a lot of issues to address, whether it's local or national. And, you know, really, it's, I think, incumbent upon us to take responsibility as citizens. And we need to expect better. And that's in what we watch, too, and read. But also, we might want to invest in quality journalism. And there are experiments around the country, information taxing districts. Let's all chip in our coppers to create something that's actually quality. You know, it's not reliant on the business community or advertising. That didn't work. So let's just build it together and make something that serves us well.
Let's talk about that after we take our break right here. David Collier with us, and David will soon be off to the University of Florida, where he will be heading the Breckner Freedom of Information Project. You're excited about that, right?
I am.
I assume you are, to leave after 17 years at the University of Arizona.
Yeah, well, I'm excited about the job and the opportunities to try to make the country a little better, I hope, and government more responsive to its citizenry.
Because they're not real responsive right now. We'll talk about that and how it's getting more and more difficult, David, to get any information out of the government. But right now, I've got information for you. Mona's Danish Bakery, home of the Danish Kringle, my favorite bakery in town, northeast corner of Swan and Sunrise. Mona's open right now for a great lunch, and of course, breakfast is folks waiting when they open the door at 6:30 Tuesday through Saturday. Open at 7 on Sunday morning. Be there early for the best selection. Mona'sDanishBakery.com is the website. More with David Collier right after this.
Family-owned Jam Culinary Concepts and its family of restaurants has you covered for your special event. Jam caters anytime, anywhere, any size group, and any type of cuisine. Vero Amore, authentic Neapolitan pizza, and Noble Hops. Craft beer and fine fare are synonymous with quality. Call 954-1468 or log on to jamculinaryconcepts.com. Buckmaster Show listeners know that I'm passionate about travel. When I'm ready to take off on a new adventure, my air travel begins and ends at Tucson International Airport. TUS is nonstop for our community and Southern Arizona. So remember, to fly local, fly Tucson. Tucson International is nonstop for Tucson. More at flytucson.com.
The Regional Transportation Authority's 20-year plan includes roadway, transit, pedestrian, bicycle, and many other transportation improvements across the region. Pima County voters approved the plan in 2006, and the RTA is working with the Citizens Advisory Committee to prepare and present a new draft plan as early as 2023 for public review. Learn more about the process at rtanext.com.
Are you happy with the news you get? While not all news is good news, you know good reporting when you see it. Check TucsonSentinel.com every day for breaking news and investigative reports. Have your say in the comments. It's all in TucsonSentinel.com, your local, independent, nonprofit news. You can rely on TucsonSentinel.com for solid reporting about immigration, Tucson and Pima politics, everything from the border to baseball. It's independent news without the spin. TucsonSentinel.com. We are watching Tucson.
For more than a half century, Tucson Gardeners Trust Green Things, a family-owned and operated retail and wholesale plant nursery, offering an amazing variety of plants, trees, cacti, pottery, and so much more, all at great prices. The 13.5-acre site by the Rito River is also home to the Zocalo Village, specializing in fine Mexican and Latin American imported furniture and art. Green Things open daily at 3384 East River Road and at greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com.
Family owned and run since 1985, Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing is the gold standard for quality and professionalism for picture framing, custom frame mirrors, art for your walls, and hanging and lighting solutions. Come in for your design session or set it up electronically. Moe's Gallery and Fine Framing, Fort Lowell and Dodge, and now doing e-commerce at moesgallery.com.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show, our midweek edition in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We continue now with our conversation with David Collier. David's been in Tucson 17 years, UA School of Journalism, former director there, and also one-time president of the Society of Professional Journalists. He's now off to the University of Florida here in the coming weeks to head up the Breckner Freedom of Information Project. You mentioned, David, before the break that some areas have actually formed news taxing districts. How does that work? What does that look like?
Yeah, it's really interesting concept. I'm really intrigued. In New Jersey and some other places, people are getting together, and just as you would you have a need that maybe isn't commercially viable, like fire protection, right?
Mm-hmm.
So you all chip in your pennies to create a fire district,
mm-hmm.
and it serves us, and that's what was necessary. Well, certainly news is becoming less and less commercially viable, mm-hmm. But it's vital to a community. So maybe we chip in our pennies and create a taxing district that funds quality journalism that serves our needs as citizens. What I like about the idea is then the news operation is beholden to the public, to mm-hmm. the taxpayer, to mm-hmm. the citizen, not to advertisers, not to the government, certainly, not to anything. Now, of course, you're creating a government, in a sense, a mm-hmm. taxing district, but it's beholden to the voters. They elect a board, and the board can make sure things are done. You create some firewalls, make sure no shenanigans in monkeying with the content gets in there. And I think you could create something worthy of a community and get people information they need to self-govern. So, you know, that's one idea I think is worth trying, as well as the nonprofit media that's been popping up, like Dylan's, mm-hmm. Tucson Sentinel, mm-hmm. as well as Arizona Public Media. That's another.
Which is, as Tom just sent me a message from the control room, and he asked, what about member-supported news co-ops, which is basically what AZPM is.
Yeah, and that's a great, and that fills an important niche, and that needs to remain and be strong. I think all of these things can supplant the commercial media that imploded, and it was destined to implode.
When you form this news taxing district, would the product be an online product and or a print edition, or what would that look like?
Well, if you ask me, I think the future of print is not very bright. You know, yes, there's a demographic that loves its print, and I still do, but mm-hmm. That demographic's not going to be around forever. And the young people, they just have no interest in it. So it will certainly evolve into a digital product only. Mm-hmm. And whether it's via your cell phone or your Google Glasses or whatever they have in the future.
But the national newspapers like the New York Times, Washington Post, and the Wall Street Journal will be survivors with a print product.
Well,
at least for the foreseeable future.
For the future, but I don't see even them printing a product too much longer. They'll survive well. Mm-hmm. They serve a very important niche of national coverage that people want. So, you know, whether it's online or on the, you know, print, they'll still be around for a long time to come because what they do is so important from a national perspective.
But what we're losing, not only when the print newspapers go away, but even with the online organizations, like Dylan tries very hard to be a watchdog with TucsonSentinel.com. But unfortunately, when requests are made to the federal government to see what's going on with files, what percentage actually do you see wind up in the hands of a journalist? It's going down, isn't it?
Oh, dramatically. And not just a journalist, but for average people. In fact, you know, we take a look at who uses public record laws in the country,
yes,
whether federal or local, and journalists only comprise about 4 to 10% of those who use the laws. Most of it, 2/3 of it, is businesses and the commercial folks, and then nonprofits and citizens use it a lot. And so, you know, 10 years ago, if you, Bill Buckmaster, walked into any city hall or went to the federal government and wanted to see some information, you'd get it about half the time, 52% of the time, by the data I've looked at. Mm-hmm. Today, 10 years later, 18% of the
time.
Wow. And the line is steady drop. There's no even bumps. It's a steady drop over 10 years. Project that out 5 years from now, 10. Is it going to be zero? Are we going to have no ability as citizens to see what our government's up to? Hmm. That is a scary thought. I mean, and the data shows this has been happening, and this trend has been going on for about 10, 20 years, and it's continuing. And frankly, I don't see it changing, and that's what worries me.
How about the young people that you've worked with here at the University of Arizona? Are they finding jobs, people in journalism school?
Well, yeah, ironically, they are. Ironically, if they want a job, 90% of them get it within 6 months, according to our surveys. Unfortunately, it means they're getting jobs as cheap labor replacing the old guard who got laid off. And now what we're seeing is, they're hiring our grads, and then these places grind them down, and then they flee within 2 to 4 years to public relations or some other career. And so it's not a healthy environment. And so I think we're really focusing and shifting on how to train these students to be entrepreneurs, to how to go out there and serve a community or a niche or a topic online. And have the business acumen to make it work. I really think that's critical for these grads. We don't need more journalists coming out of school. We need better ones. Mm-hmm. And that's kind of our approach to this.
So what happens to smaller newspapers like WIC Publications, where our friend Dan Shear is the editorial director for? I think they've grown now. Dan's got like 30, 31 newspapers all west of the Mississippi in his portfolio. What happens to the smaller papers?
Well, I think they're going to be the better off than most of the other media. I mean, people in small towns and communities really care about their community and their news product, their paper. So I think they're still going to be hurt, and I'm sure they're not making the money they used to. Mm-hmm. In fact, I think WIC had some layoffs recently or cuts. I forget. Maybe I misheard that. But so certainly they're not insulated to all of what's happening, and they're going to have to adapt as well. But fortunately, people in smaller communities seem to care more about their sense of community, and that helps the Green Valley News and these other papers that serve them well. So I think they're just critical. That's where I got my start, in a small town weekly community newspaper where I grew up in, and they're just so vital.
So the jobs that your graduates, they're going to all size papers, at least the ones that are still surviving. And I assume they're going to places like what Dylan does with online media.
Yeah, some are going to the new online media. Mm-hmm. Some are going to traditional small papers, TV stations, that sort of thing. And interestingly, some go right off to the big places, the big league, which is I mean, when I got out of college, you had to pay your dues.
Way you're looking at a guy who's worked in a lot of small towns on radio, I'll tell
you. Five to 10 years hustling small towns.
That's the way you started traditionally anyway.
And now some of our grads are going straight to the LA Times or some big places and being taught by editors who aren't much older than them or experienced in. And that's not good for our media ecosystem either. That's not good for the public because experience counts, you know? Yeah. You learn by doing and making mistakes. And yeah.
All right, David, you're off to Florida. Let's try to keep in touch, okay? We can still do telephonic interviews.
Oh, absolutely. I'd be happy to.
Telephone's still available.
Absolutely. And I'll always hold a special place in my heart for Tucson. It's the best place I've ever lived, and I'm going to miss it so much. So,
Ready for a blast of humidity in Florida in the summer, right?
Oh, yeah, absolutely.
All right, David Collier, all the best to you as you head off to the Bruckner Freedom of Information Project at the University of Florida. Thanks a lot, David.
Thank you, Bill.
All right, we'll take a break right here, Midway Point, midweek edition of the Buckmaster Show. We will be right back.
Dine in or take out authentic Neapolitan wood-fired pizza at Vero Amore, where every flavorful pizza, pasta, and panini are homemade using the finest local and imported ingredients. Vero Amore, Plaza Palomino at Swan and Fort Lowell, and on Dove Mountain in Marana, plus a full catering menu and mobile pizza truck for parties and events. Vero Amore, on the web at veroamorepizza.com.
The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun cover two of Arizona's most desirable communities. The newspapers reach more than 75% of the communities each week, with a combined population of more than 50,000. The Green Valley News also publishes a dozen magazines each year, and both newspapers publish up-to-the-minute local news online at gvnews.com. The Green Valley News and Sarita Sun, it's all right here.
Hi, this is Irene Coppola, President and CEO of the Better Business Bureau serving Southern Arizona. The BBB sets the standards for marketplace trust by engaging with and educating consumers and businesses. The BBB is the resource to turn to for the objective, unbiased information on businesses offering national and local consumer services online and in person. Learn more about the many services offered by the Better Business Bureau at bbb.org.
Cushman & Wakefield PICOR is Tucson's leading independently owned full-service commercial real estate company. Founded in 1985, Cushman & Wakefield PICOR offers leasing, sales, and property management for industrial, office, medical, retail, land, and investment properties in Tucson and Sonora, Mexico. Visit our website at PICOR.com for the latest news from Tucson's commercial real estate sector. That's PICOR.com. Call us at 748-7100.
This is Bill Buckmaster urging my listeners to join me in becoming a member of the Reed Park Zoo, one of America's top zoos and home to more than 300 animals from all over the world. When you become a zoo member, you receive free daytime admission, discounts on special events and education programs, and so much more. Find out more about zoo membership and everything you need to know about your zoo visit, reedparkzoo.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village Studio. We love green things. What a great place to go for all of your spring gardening needs. Need some color for the garden? Well, head over to 3384 East River Road by the Rito River. Beautiful location on 13 acres. You'll find everything you need for the garden and then some beautiful items. The pottery, the Talavera pottery from Mexico, that's all part of their Zocalo Village operation. Their website is greenthingsaz.com and zocalovillage.com. Green Things has been in business here for 53 years, and they are open daily. Joining me now in the studio, Fulbright scholar Albrecht Clausen, University Distinguished Professor, Director of Outreach in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona. He has a broad range of research interests covering the history of medieval and early modern German and European literature and culture from about 800 AD to 1800. He's also involved in contemporary literature, writing. He writes poetry, prose. He's published hundreds of scholarly articles and book citations, translations, textbooks, including a handbook of medieval studies. He's won many awards. One of his distinguished honors, Grand Knight Commander of the Most Noble Order of the Three Lions, in recognition of outstanding service to German studies. I love that. I love that title. I'd like to see, was there a medal that showed?
Yes.
There was.
I can just picture it,
that shows the three lions. Dr. Clausen is editor-in-chief of the international online journal titled Humanities. A couple of his most recent books, and seems like he turns out a new one every couple of months, Wisdom from the European Middle Ages, The Secret in Medieval Literature, Alternative Worlds in the Middle Ages, Humanities in the 21st Century, The Meaning and the Relevance of Medieval and Modern Literature. How are you, Dr. Clausen?
Thank you very much, Bill. I'm very happy to be here once again. It's always very nice to have the conversations with you.
And I know you're sharing with so many here in our community. We just had that excellent segment with Dr. David Collier, who's just such a wealth of knowledge about journalism, not only in our community, but across the country, and freedom of information. That's his specialty. I know you're concerned with these cuts at the Arizona Daily Star.
Oh, yeah. We are very much concerned about it because we know that our democracy can only work well when we have freedom of the press, when people can voice their opinion, and when big money is not involved in our democratic process. I know this from my medieval perspective, when you have had many evil rulers.
Yeah.
And so in a way, when I look at medieval material, I suddenly have a wonderful mirror to reflect upon the current situations, dictators, tyrants, people who break the law. It happens everywhere and all the time.
And if the journalists go away, who's going to be the watchdog?
That's exactly right. And so we are very concerned also about the courts. I mean, I don't want to be political, but
I know.
If you think about the Supreme Court of the United States of America,
yeah,
and some of the Supreme Court justices have taken millions of dollars from some sponsor and then have made cases, decisions in favor of a certain case, then suddenly our division of these three branches of the government is no longer there.
Who was the watchdog in the medieval times?
That's an interesting question.
It is. I just thought of that. I'm thinking,
yes.
Well, in the medieval times, we didn't have newspapers. We didn't have radio or TV.
Yes,
we didn't have
true.
Online media. So was there a watchdog of some kind?
Bill, you would be surprised. We have had sometimes kings who were impeached and removed from their office. And that's unbelievable. We sort of have sort of misconceptions about that age. At the same time, we have.
Hey,
people.
Correct me if I'm wrong, but I thought a king was that's a life for life. You
yeah.
know, lifetime
well,
job. You
true,
know?
But first
yeah.
of all, a king is elected.
Uh-huh.
No king is simply a dictator. Although there were sometimes dictators or tyrants, but most kings. Well, into the 19th century, they were elected. And if they did not meet their requirements, they could be removed from their office.
Elected by a small,
yes,
albeit a small group, but
exactly.
some kind of a council. Is that what
right.
you're saying?
The council
okay, yeah.
or the archbishops
okay.
or the dukes of
it. So there
princes.
Was, you're saying there was some accountability,
yes.
at least on a very fundamental level.
Absolutely.
Okay.
And also the notion that you addressed before, that there was no sense of the public. We have to correct that because we know that there were so many media to publicize issues, to address the complaints of the people against the ruler. I mean, why did we have the Magna Carta 1215? That was the beginning of revolt against dictatorship and suppression when rulers just take all the money, which I think happens in our country right mm-hmm. now as well. Mm-hmm. So,
Tom, was that the three lions? You think that Dr.
Yes, there we go.
Oh, there it is.
There
okay.
we go.
Tom found it because I was curious about the coat of arms for your award, and mm-hmm. it really is impressive.
Yes, thank you.
You got three lions there mm-hmm. On a yellow, black lions mm-hmm. On a yellow shield. Really, yeah. really nice. But anyway, you have a very important symposium coming up that's about the, let's see, what is it called?
A universal issue, Bill, yeah. that concerns us all. It is a relationship between human society and the natural environment. We take an historical approach and thereby use that as a lens to reflect upon our relationship between us as human beings and society. We're not going to address necessarily climate change and conflicts and problems today, but we'll be looking at problems as they occurred already in the past.
Were there environmental concerns in your period of study in the medieval times?
When people talk about, let's say, poets, that the forests have been cut down, when people express worry that the water is no longer there, then you suddenly have very strong parallels between then as well as today. Of course, you have also concerns about, let's say, wild animals, when you have cold weather, the wolves coming to cities, when you have concerns about epidemic, for example, the Black Death, we talked about that mm-hmm, already before, mm-hmm, mm-hmm. and we will have talks about that. We'll have also spiritual components, how do people see nature? Then we have the question, how do we understand our world and nature? All animals, all plants, all creatures can serve as metaphors for something that we want to understand about this world.
The conference is called the Human Society and Natural Environment in the Pre-Modern World. Is this open to the public, Dr. Clausen?
Yeah, it is a conference that will be, for the first time, for me at least, a hybrid conference. So I started 2004 and was always in person. Then 2020, I had to cancel because of COVID. Mm-hmm. Then 2022, I had an online conferences, which were really fine, and great volumes came out of them. And now it's a hybrid, which means about 8 people will speak from Spain, from Israel, from Italy, Czech Republic, and you name it. And then about 15 or 16 people will speak here. So go to my webpage. There's International Symposium. And then you click on 2023. And then you get right away to the hyperlink. And anyone is invited to join this conference.
What is your webpage?
It's aclassen, A-C-L-A-S-S-E-N dot faculty dot Arizona dot edu.
Is there an easier way to do it? Maybe if people just Google
my name.
Yeah,
very
your name,
easy. Professor Clausen, C-L-A-S-S-E-N. Anyone can join that. Or it's on Facebook. I've posted it there. I've posted it on LinkedIn. I've posted it on Twitter. So it's very easy to find.
Well, certainly climate change is on everybody's mind these days. Is there something that we might be able to learn from other cultures about these issues?
If you think about, for example, forests, mm-hmm. and if you think about the building of fleets, if you think about the Mediterranean, for example, which has been pretty much deforested since the end of the late Middle Ages.
And the British Isles. Look at that.
Absolutely,
yeah.
right?
Yeah.
And once the forest is gone, then the soil would go.
Where did all the forest go? Was it used for like shipbuilding?
Absolutely.
Wow.
Think about the Spanish Armada in 1588 trying to attack England, and all the ships were then shipwrecked. Yeah. And, you know, it takes, I don't know, hundreds and hundreds of trees to build a ship.
Yeah.
It's an amazing enterprise.
Well,
and then
because you see these pictures of places like Scotland and in Ireland and in England, Wales, just deforested.
Well, I think there you have a little bit different climate conditions. Yeah. I'm thinking more about the Mediterranean, where they depleted the forests and since it was so hot, and then climate changed a little bit as well. And so that is never going to come back because it's sheer rock right now.
Right. So. All right, we'll pause right here. More with Dr. Clausen after we take a break on The Buckmaster Show.
Noble Hops is Tucson's original gastropub, serving an ever-changing menu of craft beer and fine fare. Savor the majestic mountain views from the perfect for any season spacious patio at West Lambert Lane and North La Cañada Drive in Oro Valley. Order in or take out at Noble Hops, a pub for foodies. On the web at noblehops.com.
International Airport, we are nonstop for our community. Our main priorities are providing a safe and secure travel experience and excellent customer service. We are also nonstop for landing prosperity in Southern Arizona by attracting new flights for business travel and family getaways. When your airport thrives, our community thrives. So fly local, fly TUS. Tucson International Airport is nonstop for Tucson.
Have you always wanted to cruise to Alaska? If that's the case, then you'll only see the tip of the iceberg. At Bon Voyage Travel, we can package the full Alaska experience with a cruise tour. Journey to Denali National Park on glass-domed rail cars. Tour the tundra wilderness and see the northern lights with an expert guide. And of course, relax on your cruise as you enjoy the glaciers up close and personal. Go to bvtravel.com today. Bon Voyage Travel, your Alaska experts.
The Regional Transportation Authority plan is funded by a voter-approved half-cent sales tax. The RTA tax is collected throughout Pima County and averages about $100 million in revenue each month. The RTA is the largest annual funder of regional transportation projects in the region. The RTA tax funds priority projects that were approved by voters in 2006. See details in the latest RTA annual report at rtamobility.com.
The Friends of Pima Animal Care Center is the nonprofit partner to our Pima County Animal Shelter. We grant critically needed resources to PACC so that it can continue the amazing life-saving progress it has made in recent years. Your generosity helps us find homes for abused, neglected, and abandoned animals at PAC. Learn how you can help at friendsofpacc.org.
The nonprofit Tucson Wildlife Center has been helping injured, sick, and orphan wildlife in southern Arizona since 1999. They're dedicated to the rescue, medical care, and rehabilitation of sick, injured, and orphan wildlife, with the goal of releasing them back to their natural habitat. Around 5,000 animals a year come to them, as they are the only wildlife rescue in southern Arizona. All made possible through donations. They receive no government funding. Please donate at TucsonWildlife.com.
Nestled in the foothills of the Santa Rita Mountains of southeastern Arizona is Equine Voices and Sanctuary, home to horses and burros that were rescued from neglect, abuse, abandonment, and slaughter. Please consider Equine Voices Rescue and Sanctuary with a financial gift of support and estate remembrance. Learn more about our vision and values at equinevoices.org.
Welcome back. It is the Buckmaster Show in the Green Things Zocalo Village studio. We want to tell everybody about Silver City in Grant County, New Mexico. And if you're at all into blues, and a lot of people are, the Silver City Blues Festival will be May 27th. That's a Saturday in Silver City. This is a free blues festival. Not only rising stars, but there's going to be some tremendous very classic, well-seasoned performers taking part as well. It's only about a three-hour drive, so it might be a great opportunity to kind of get away this Memorial Day weekend. There'll be plenty of music to enjoy, dancing, food, and a lot more at the Silver City Blues Festival. The website for Silver City is southwestnewmexico.org. Dr. Albrecht Clausen is with us, University Distinguished Professor, Director of Outreach, in the Department of German Studies at the University of Arizona, recently minted Fulbright scholar. In fact, the news of his Fulbright scholarship came on a day when he was scheduled to be a guest here on the program. So I had very good timing. Serendipitous that all happened, and then you took your Fulbright scholar, you went over to Cairo, to Egypt, and so it's been a good run for you, hasn't it?
That's absolutely true, but let me also put in a plug for you.
Thank
you. Because you are a very important voice for the city, and through your interviews with people, a lot of new knowledge is spread in the community, and this is so important. We all know how challenging journalism is nowadays, and so your voice is such an important one. So thank you very much.
Well, thank you very much. The reason I do this program every day is I learn a little something every show, and especially when you're on the show, I learn a lot. And one of the things I've wondered about, we were talking about kind of kings that ruled in your range of study in medieval and early modern European times. Was there something like a blueprint of behavior for kings and queens?
Mm-hmm. So
I mean, was there accepted behavior that that they were supposed to stay within a range of, I don't know, was there?
Yeah. So let's start with something beyond the Middle Ages. When you think about dictators or tyrants or absolutist rulers, you really have to think about Machiavelli. That's 16th century. And then the 17th century, you have Louis the 14th, and then the other French kings or the English kings. So that is a modern development against which then later democracy rallied. But when you go to the earlier times, my period, Middle Ages, of course you had kings, but a king has never been an absolutist ruler. A king was a member of a larger social group, and his peers voted him in, and it could also impeach him. So we have, for example, a huge genre of so-called mirror for princes, where already the young princes were taught how to behave, how to listen, how to perform, how to pay attention, how to take care of the people and not just being selfish.
Hmm.
So one of the greatest ideals always spoken of for a king was to be generous.
Mm-hmm.
So the general notion was a true king says to his guests, go into my treasury and take whatever you want. Whatever you want.
You're kidding.
But of course, then there was the concept that they were modest and didn't take everything.
Go ahead, yeah. Take what you'd like. So, but people didn't really take a lot.
That is sort of a give and take. So when the king demonstrates his generosity, you're supposed to demonstrate your modesty.
Mm-hmm.
And thereby it was a nice balanced relationship. Of course, you always have had kings who went far beyond that and became dictatorial. But as I said, some kings were impeached and actually concretely removed from their office or assassinated.
Sure.
I mean, if that happened, yeah. Absolutely.
How about women's rights?
Oh, well, this
blueprint for the queen.
You had the same thing, a mirror for princes or mirrors for princesses. So how should a girl perform, behave, whatever social class she might be? And that is probably just the same concerns we have. We as parents, we want our children to perform according to certain standards.
Mm-hmm.
They don't become automatically good kids.
No.
They need to learn.
They need good role models, right?
Yes.
Yeah.
You don't steal. You don't cuss. You don't curse. You don't mistreat people. No, you are a good member of society. That needs to be learned. And so you have the same thing in the pre-modern world. And so it allows us wonderfully to understand fundamentals of our own world, but mirrored through past conditions.
And it seems like we always go back to thinking about the stereotype that all the kings were these big tyrants and dictators.
Well, actually, today there was a letter in the newspaper, Arizona Daily Star, warning us about falling back to the Dark Ages.
I know that's a term you don't like, the Dark Ages, because as through our talks here on the radio, the Dark Ages were not dark. There was some very enlightened times, right?
Absolutely. Yeah. You had great scholars, and mm-hmm. you had actually professors who could talk to the kings. Mm-hmm. You had bishops mm-hmm. who had the right to advise the kings, who admonished them. And then you had, of course, courts. You had law books. You had judges. So it was not quite as developed as in our day and age, but it was would be a completely misconception if we thought that that age was lawless, primitive, mm-hmm. barbaric.
Yeah. For the third summer now, you'll be going to the highly regarded Middlebury College in Vermont, where you'll be teaching, it's really an immersion in German, the German language, 7 weeks. What is this about you? You only speak German? Not just to the students, but among the faculty?
Yes. We all pledge for 7 weeks to speak only German.
What?
And it's sort of trying to put our students into the situation, as children. Just as children slowly learn a language, they don't learn it overnight. Really takes years if you think about it. Let's say a one-year-old slowly picking up some words, doesn't understand anything about grammar. And so in Middlebury, we have the opportunity. We teach them also grammar. We guide them. We help them. We discuss, make them write. And so it's a really intensive but incredibly productive process.
Mm. 7 weeks.
7 weeks.
How about at the dinner table and all that?
Absolutely German, or if you want to study Arabic or Hebrew or Korean, whatever. At breakfast, brushing teeth. You cannot even dream in English.
I was just going to say, you may wind up dreaming in German. You're also going to go back to Europe for the first time with taking students this summer. Yes. Will be the first time since pre-pandemic. Mm-hmm. Where are you headed?
We will go first to northeastern Spain, then southern France, northern Italy, southern Switzerland, northern Switzerland, southern Germany, short trip into Austria, and then end up in Germany.
What's in your head now? What are you working on? I mean, I've never seen anybody so prolific when it comes to writing. What kind of book is next?
Well, the next book, I'm almost, not quite there yet, but it addresses very much some of the topics we have addressed, namely court criticism or criticism of kings. Mm-hmm. So I'm just working through and thinking through.
Medieval justice system?
Exactly. Mm-hmm. And what happens when a king rules dictatorially? How do people see that? We have a lot of texts and documents that address the public discourse.
Mm.
So, newspapers, if you will.
Wow. Well, I was just checking out before the show. I went to Amazon and I put your name in there, and page after page of offerings are available of your writings and your books and your, it just goes on and on. I mean, you're always such a very busy guy, and you still look really great. You just had a birthday.
Yes,
you look like you're very fit, and we hope you stay that way.
Thank you very much.
All the best to you. Have a wonderful summer.
Thank you, Bill. You too.
On behalf of Dr. Albrecht Clausen and Tom, who does a great job engineering and producing our program, I'm Bill Buckmaster, urging everybody to stick around. We'll have CBS Network News. Then we have Dave Ramsey, his very popular show, talking about your money. That's coming up next on KVOI. Have a great afternoon, everybody. We'll be back with you in about 23 hours. Have a good day.